Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words,
benvenuti a tutti. This is Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain. Today we have a very important question. Why is change management necessary? Assuming that we need it, right? So that's the first assumption that we are gonna have here. We're gonna be talking about, what it is. We are gonna have a deep look into that. And also we are gonna be talking about the challenges and some samples. So very excited about this conversation. Of course, we have someone that is gonna be sharing the insight. And it is a Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain co-host. And we are going to invite Casey to have a coffee with us today. So let's do that. Casey, good morning, good afternoon. No, good morning is still, right? Good afternoon.
It's afternoon, yeah. You know what? I've been so off on the week that honestly, I probably couldn't tell you coming off the holiday if it's morning or afternoon. So it's all good. It's just a day, right? So hello, yeah. Everyone.
Yeah, happened to be that every time that we have a holiday, we are playing catch up, right?
Oh, I tell you, these holiday weeks, while I appreciate the days off and, the long weekends, sometimes trying to get back into the swing of things after that is just like, I can't keep up. I'm like, is it Monday? Is it Tuesday? What day are we in?
It is crazy. So let me do some housekeeping items here. So Benita is going to be in the ICPA conference. So she's traveling and that's the reason why she's not joining today. She's going to be in El Paso, Texas. I believe that's the conference where is going to be taking place. So hopefully next week we are going to hear about what is happening with the ICPA. And she's going to share all the experiences and see what we can learn from there. So today, why is change management necessary? That is a good question, right? Do you have any good reason why it's necessary?
Oh, man, I've got quite a few reasons why it's necessary. But no, it's a great topic, especially right now with so many organizations looking to make, changes to their processes, to their systems, to their structures, to, reacting, adapting to everything they learned in the pandemic. Change and managing that is going to be key to making sure that all of that is successful. So it's definitely an important topic.
Yeah. So I always try to summarize everything in something very simple, just for me, of course, and in my opinion. Why it's necessary is because if we would like to enhance the customer satisfaction, then we need to think about change management. That's what I try to put it in only one, but it's only me, of course. It's only me.
You're right, though, because, at the end of the day, like poor reactions to change aren't just felt internally, but they're felt externally as well. So, it is key to being able to make sure that, everything is working up to par.
Right. And believe it or not, every single decision that the company is going to be making, right, at the end of the day, is going to be affecting the clients. That's for sure.
Right.
I mean, like, for example, if you lose team members, if you do any given implementation, believe it or not, is going to end up at the customer side, that's for sure, because they're going to feel the pain or the success that you are having, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah. No, agreed 100%.
Let's talk about the challenges. What can be the challenges to go through this change management process?
So let
me start with something, because I like this part, because at least I have found it multiple different times. Resistance to change.
Oh, yes. That's probably the top one.
we don't like to change. We don't want to change. Is that probably close to reality, or at least what you have experienced too?
I mean, I would, yeah, 100%. Like, I think we personally, no one ever wants to go through change. Professionally, we don't want to go through change. We never want to have to deal with change. But, you know, I would say that, so I kind of want to go back for a second and kind of touch on the fact that, you know, within these implementations or initiatives or any changes that are being made, you know, it's actually a very fundamental piece that you kind of have to plan for, right? You kind of have to plan for what could potentially go wrong with change. I mean, it's just like everything else. It's essentially managing a risk, which is poor adaption to change. And, you know, within like initiatives in particular, or, you know, projects, it's often kind of seen as a separate piece to project management, but really it's directly connected to when you're planning out these, you know, changes, that you have that component that once something is done, or the project is done, that you're managing the after effects of it, you know, and how people are reacting and adapting, how your organization is reacting and adapting, how your customers, your suppliers, whoever's involved is adapting to the change that you just made, to then be able to pivot. And like I said, that's just basically looking at the risks that are associated. And one of those risks is change and poor reaction to it.
Yeah. And I mean, and you're right about that. I mean, technically, overall, I mean, in personal or in the world side, I mean, we don't like to experience any change, right?
Right.
I'm making some memories. I don't know. Let's say company A, I don't want to mention the name, right? They didn't have any WMS solution. And then they were using the spreadsheets, keeping control of the inventory. I have to recognize that the amount of work that they have invested in the spreadsheets, it was fantastic. I mean, it was working like a system, right?
Right.
I mean, you can, I mean, it was affecting tables and macros and all these kinds of stuff. Beautiful. And when we attempt to change and implement the WMS, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like we were doing a criminal act. Everyone was fighting it. Very, very rough experience, because they want to keep the spreadsheet versus the WMS.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I would say that that's due to, you know, and I don't want to say due to, but like something to be cognizant of, right? When doing things like that, and again, you see it across a lot of different things, even personally, right? It's going back to understanding, you know, what the purpose of the initiative, project, or change is, to then be able to know like what the impacts could be, right? So like in that situation, it's like maybe the people who had been, you know, using the spreadsheets don't really understand the importance of converting to a WMS, right? So it's going back to identifying like the who, what, when, where, why, and how, you know. Who is this going to be impacting? What are we doing? Why are we doing it? Like those types of questions, to be able to help communicate that to the ones who are experiencing the change, so then they can kind of understand why. I think a lot of times though, like the reason that some of these changes don't really stick and there is a poor reaction is because the why, or, you know, an educational approach isn't necessarily taken. I mean, I've been, you know, through different types of changes within organizations, and a lot of times it's just, hey, we're doing this. And it's like, okay, well, why are we doing this? Like, what makes sense for us to do this, right? Like, where's this headed? you know, long-term for the company, for the vision, for the direction that we're headed? Why is this an integral piece of that? And I think coming from that approach of like that why and conveying that to the ones who are going to be experiencing it is important to getting them to like stick with the change.
and that is a key point. I mean, having the why, then basically it is extremely important, right?
Right.
And knowing what exactly you are going to be accomplishing is super key as well. Those two things, why we are going to do it, because we would like to achieve this, then we are going to go through the process or the pain that that represents. Now, another thing that talking about the challenges right now, right? So it would be the complexity of what you are going to be doing. That bring down so many people who said, oh my God, you guys are going to change in the ERP system, for example. Then
right.
Many people hesitate to do that because they said, oh, it's going to be a nightmare.
Right.
Or it's going to be an extra hour that we need to put every single day while we are going to be doing that. Then they are going to experience pain. Therefore, I mean, they don't want to be there.
Right. You know, I would say, though, that goes back to kind of defining and understanding, you know, the why, and then also coming up with the whole plan of how it's all going to shake out and communicating that accordingly. Now, I think communication is the biggest piece of this, right? I mean, and don't get me wrong, I'm also cognizant of you can't convey too much to too many stakeholders at one time. Like there's a stakeholder management piece of this, but I would say that communication is the biggest thing, and it's the ones who are going to be impacted by the change that you're communicating. Again, the who, what, when, where, why, how of this change, and you know, giving them what they need too. I think training and development is another key piece to this that's often forgotten about, and developing these training programs or you know, getting everyone up to speed on what the change is and what new skills or new things that they're going to have to do, and then giving them the resources through that. Because I think it's often, you know, they're just kind of released into the wild of doing this new change, and then that's how other inefficiencies get built, because people start to dive into these changes, do them the way that they see fit, not according to how it was intended or, you know, what was set up from the start. And then they start doing it their own way. And that's why it doesn't work either, because they're not supported to be able to do it the right way.
Right. And you're right about that. I mean, the communication is something that is extremely key. Now, something that I have seen is, and you're right about that. I mean, we don't, or we can, or we should, or whatever is going to be the best word, share everything that is going to be done, right?
Right.
But in the other side, I mean, sometimes we have that specific gaps of communication where people doesn't know anything. And that's terrible because they are going to experience change and they don't have any background information of what exactly is happening, right? So that is terrible as well. How about this? Managing expectations.
That's, you know, honestly, that goes back to planning, right? Because, I mean, and we see this. I've seen this. I know we've all seen it at some point in our careers. The expectation that a change is going to go according to plan. I'm just going to be straight. It never goes according to plan. It may go according to a plan, but probably not the one that you set forth where everything's perfect. And that's because like risk presents itself, or, you know, there's things that weren't expected or that come into play. And so I think managing the expectation and going in with the mindset of this is the plan, but being aware of the fact that we may need to make deviations to the plan of how the change is going to unfold. You know, we may need to shift, you know, how the change is going to happen based upon reactions internally, externally, macro level, whatever the case may be. And it's going in with that mindset that while this is the outcome or the end goal, I know we talked about that last week, while this is the end goal, you know, there's going to be deviations that may need to be made, or, you know, it may take a little longer to get to that end goal than planned. But that's where managing the whole change or managing the project or the aftermath comes into play, and keeping track of how it's all unfolding as it's happening.
Right. And the other is to be realistic, right? Because if the change management is because, let's say, we are going to enhance the, I don't know, the any system, right? Like we're going to have a better experience using a platform, for example. Then is not that the company is going to change 100%. It's just that specific area that you are going to be affecting, right? Yeah, it can pinpoint, I mean, probably different areas, but the main thing is this, it's not that, oh, you know what, I mean, the company is going to be, tomorrow is going to be different. No.
Right.
That's not the expectation. I mean, the expectation is that the use of any particular system or tool is going to be better. That's right. Basically the baseline, and that's exactly where we should be focusing. So, okay.
And I think there's, honestly, I think with the expectation piece, there's expectations within different phases too, and different levels, right? You've got your internal expectations and the ones who are being impacted or involved at the change or executive level. You've got your external, you know, different expectations, whether that's the customer, supplier, provider, whatever the case may be. But then you also have that, how that changes throughout the execution of the change. And you have to be cognizant and aware of you know, how the change is unfolding to be able to know how to adjust what those expectation levels are and communicate those to the parties at the right points.
Perfect. So do you think that we should be coming on some other challenges that we see often?
Let's see. I'm trying to think of any other good challenges besides expectations, communication, and I would say probably the inability to actually want to change or resistance to change. Those are probably the top three. But then, you know, also, I guess risk, and which all those I would include as risks, but I would say risk. You know, when you go to implement a new system or you go to make any sort of change, there's always risk that's inherent, right? There's risk with any decision that's being made. So trying to plan ahead and think of what are the risks that could happen. And that, you know, again, that could go back to, you know, the three that we just, or the four that we just touched on, but it could be other things like budget, time, you know, other aspects of project management that you need to be aware of, scope creep. That's one that can present itself at any point. Are you trying to do too much at one time? Are you trying to pull too much in to fit into this initiative when it could be multiple phases? Are you trying to run before you even learn how to crawl? You know, like those types of things. But identifying what those risks are and then just writing them all out and coming up with what is the probability that these risks can occur and how can we mitigate them?
Yeah, we need to be able to make a very good assessment of the resources. That's basically what you're saying. Because it is true. It's something that is important because that is probably the success or the failure of that project.
Yes.
If you don't take care of if you have to acknowledge what are the resources that you're going to be having for that
specific project.
Okay, that's good. Now, probably this should be from the beginning, but now that we're going to be having a deep look into that, what is it? I mean, what is a good definition for change management?
Oh, gosh. I would say it's, how many minutes do I have? You know, I did a whole series on this. So,
by the way, just for everyone that is listening and or watching, Casey is going to be sharing the link for that series that she did. Very, very, very insightful, that's for sure. So I strongly recommend that, take a look of that.
Yeah, so now in that, I broke it down in 2 minutes in three-part videos. Obviously, we could spend a whole probably 4 hours on this today. I'll spare you all the time. But really, you know, I would say that it's managing change to ensure the success of an initiative. And it's also managing how that implementation is kind of fitting even after it's already taken place. You know, how is everyone reacting after the fact as well? I would say that's probably the best high level definition of what change management is.
Yeah, without any question, I mean, it's an essential process, right? That the one of the keys involvement pieces is strategic planning, mm-hmm. implementing, and sustaining. Yeah. Because sustaining is something that is, in my opinion, I mean, probably a key element, because you're going to go through a change, then you have to sustain that.
Yes.
And that's probably the most difficult part in that process, because no one is used to new practices, flows, or whatever right. the case may be, then you have the tendency to go back. And sustain right. is something that is extremely important in this process, because you're going to spend the money, the resources, the time.
Right.
And then it's a shame that you're going to go back to the old practices if you were right. trying to improve it, right?
But, you know, it happens a lot more than you think, because what people, and this goes back to managing expectations, right? What people don't realize is that when, you know, you're faced with like roadblocks or disruptions or, you know, problems within a new process or a new change, like that's all normal, right? Like that doesn't mean it's not working. That Never. Means that, you know, you are just adjusting to it and you're learning how to, you know, work with it, right? And so a lot of times where it falls off the rails is people see problems or they see disruption or they see these roadblocks and they go, this isn't working. We're not doing what we need to be doing, and end up stopping what they could have continued to proceed forward with. And I think that's the thing, you know, and the way that you can actually manage that, you know, after the fact or the sustaining factor is with, you know, KPIs, key performance indicators. Metrics I would argue are actually used more within like the day-to-day activities, where key performance indicators kind of connect how the whole initiative is functioning within the overall strategy. But you know, those are good measures of how things are going. And just because there might be a you know, a delta between where things should be and where they are, that doesn't mean that the change is not working. It just means that maybe there's areas of the change that need a second look to understand why that piece of the change isn't working. And those small things can be adjusted after the fact.
Absolutely. Now, having a deep look into this, what would be those suggested steps that we should be thinking about or considering when we are going to go through a change management? You already mentioned about having the why. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, probably should be on the top of the list, right? And the goals that we are going to be having. That's yeah. good. Now, I thought about a second one, probably that is, in my opinion, again, right? Have the sponsorship, because if not yeah. everyone is buying into, then I consider that probably is going to be very difficult, I mean, to deploy that to the rest of the organization if the upper level management is not sponsoring that, or right. they are not that the exercise, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I mean, there has to be buy-in from, you know, the top down, right? Mm. You can't have, you know, change be pushing from the middle up and down, right? Like you have to get the buy-in from the top. Yes. And someone to kind of, I guess, sponsor per se. But I would say that comes with when you're in that defining and understanding type phase of, you know, a change, it's coming up with the business plan of why this is a necessity for the business, right? It's a business case. It's coming up with your, with how is this going to impact the business? Getting the buy-in from the top so they see it, to then trickle it down into everyone else. So I would say that your first step is probably define and understand. And that's, again, where you're coming up with that why. You're pitching that in a business case form to, you know, the upper level, probably, unless the change is coming from the upper level. And it can include, you know, what the impacts of the change will be, whether that's positive or negative. And I think it should be, like, those things should be called out in that understanding and definition stage. The second phase would probably be the planning phase. And that's one of the most important pieces, is planning ahead. And this is identifying, you know, how that change is actually going to be executed. And while it's one piece to actually plan the project tangibles, the other piece of planning how those tangibles impact your processes, products, and people, that also needs to be considered and planned ahead with as well. And that should include your monitoring methods. And then it goes down into execution, right? And now keep in mind, those are like three very high level bullet points of how this should be performed. But when it comes down to it, you're talking definition and understanding, planning, and then executing.
Mm-hmm. Now, there, something jumps into my mind about not everyone is ready. Not every single company is ready. I would like to be better all the time. I would like to improve. I would like to, you name it, right? But it doesn't mean that I'm ready. And that is and that is a critical assessment that have to be done prior to that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's very curious. It's like, I want to be a better human being, but I'm not ready to do that. it's weird, but that happens, right?
Right. Well, and I think it goes back to, you know, and I preach this all the time, right? Understanding where your company's at and having the knowledge to go, hey, this is where we're at. Like, for example, I guarantee every company out there right now wants to be able to have robots probably doing everything for them at light speed and at the cheapest cost possible, guaranteed, right? Now, but you can't get there if you're still putting stuff on spreadsheets, like the example we talked to before, right? You can get there, but it's going to take time. And I think that component of not being ready feeds into that expectation piece, right? You have to come to the realization that, hey, we're at point A, we'd like to get to point Z, but we've got some other points we have to hit on the way to get there. And you can't go from just being point A to point Z without taking the necessary steps to get yourself to that end goal.
Yeah, and I've seen this happening many times where companies want to grow, yes, and they said, I mean, when the growth comes, then we are going to adjust everything in order to be able to support that. And sometimes it doesn't work like that because the growth is going to just put the company in trouble.
Right. Yeah.
And whatever you have achieved is going to disappear because you are not prepared for that.
Right.
And it's a kind of confusion sometimes, right? Because that conversation that we have about the chicken and the egg, I mean, what is first? But it's not that you have to be 100% ready, but you have to have a good level of understanding what exactly you are going to. And be able to combine those two forces, right?
Yes.
I want to grow, and this is what I'm lacking, and this is what I... If you don't know what you are missing, then it's very difficult. It's a wave that is going to take you, is going to put you in a very difficult situation. Now, here is something that always comes to play on this particular preparation, let's say, for these processes. Flexibility, because not every single company is flexible. Not every single person is flexible.
Right.
And believe it or not, because I can be the CEO of the company, and he says, okay, this is what we are going to do, period. Doesn't work like that, unfortunately. You need to get the buy-in from different levels, multiple different levels. And if those levels are not flexible, then you are going to have serious trouble because those are the ones that are going to be helping, supporting, and implementing everything. Therefore, I mean, they need to be ready and flexible for that. So, with flexibility comes the training piece of that as well.
Right. And I would say, I mean, honestly, like, you know, as a leader of an organization, you have to use different leadership styles within these changes as well. Like, that's important to call out that, like, you can't just use a coercive leadership style and say, hey, this is what we're doing. Everyone get on board. That's not going to be effective, right? You've got to kind of employ different leadership styles at the start, in the middle, and at the end, to where you get the buy-in from the ones who are going to be actually feeling the change. But also, again, it goes back to that training piece and education piece of why the change is happening and giving them the resources and the training and support that they need to be able to even make it through the change. I think that's also kind of forgotten too, is you know, once a change has taken place, there still has to be some sort of resources to be able to help people, you know, continue to adapt and continue to learn and grow. I mean, how many times have you yourself or anyone out there listening, you start using a new software technology on your own personal computer or social media, right? And you're sitting here and you're like, how in the world do I do this? Where do I click for that? You know, asking all of those questions, right? And what do? You normally hop on Google or you call someone. You're like, hey, how do I do this? My mom does this all the time, right? She'll ask me all the time, how do I do this? How do I do that? And I have to explain, you know, and be a resource of, even though they know how they have the program, have the tool, you still have to be able to give them the opportunity to still continue to ask questions and have resources to be able to answer those questions. And I know we've all dealt with that in our own personal lives, right? So if you didn't have the resources to be able to hop on Google and find out how to do something, what would you do? You'd probably resist using whatever it is that you were trying to Google anyway.
My wife runs a quite interesting enterprise. And when I signed up, I mean, 25 years ago for that, I became the IT support.
Yeah.
and I'm stuck in there still. But yeah, she runs it very well. She issues a ticket, and then I have to work on that within 24 hours.
But it's the same thing, though, right? I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, it's the same concept of when you personally have things that, you know, you have to ask questions about. The same thing within an organization, right? You have to give the resources and your people the ability to continue to have that support even after the change is done, or else they will throw their hands in the air and say, I'm out, I'm not doing this. Because if you don't have the ability to give them that, then why even go through with the change? It's not gonna stick for them.
This is a silly question to an expert.
Okay.
I'm gonna be asking the question, the silly question, and you are the expert, by the way.
Oh no, okay.
I mean, talking about when you go to a company and you are going to make an assessment for change management, what is the time frame that entails in order to get to gather the information to be able to make an assessment and then probably set up the expectation? I don't know. Is there any specific time frame for that?
I mean, I would say it depends. It depends on the initiative. It depends on the size of the organization. It depends on, you know, what level of cross-functionality you're going to be dealing with. For me, though, and the way that I approach it is I look at what the change is and I start to piece together. You know, I do the same thing. I look at who, what, when, where, why, how, right? Just like these companies should be doing when they're planning these initiatives, I do the same thing. And I look at, you know, and I talk to all of those people who are going to be impacted and understand where they're currently at and then what they're going to need to get to where they need to be. And I think that's something organizations can do as well. Find out from the people who are going to be impacted and have those conversations. But I think the timing of it just depends on, you know, the initiative, how much cross-functionality, the size of the organization, and how long it takes to actually collect some data and information from the parties, you know, or the stakeholders who are going to be impacted.
Right, right. Now, there's multiple different good examples in the industry. Let's talk about some of them, because that probably is gonna bring some value to the audience, right? I have one that, I mean, I always try to bring, I mean, not the same names for, because there's not more source, but because this speaks very well about that. The brand, everyone knows the brand. Number two, they see the result probably in the marketplace. Therefore, I mean, it's a
pretty bad comment.
So in this case, we are talking about, let's say, Walmart, right? They make a huge investment at one specific period of time. They invest in RFID just to do what? To improve efficiency and to reduce the cost, to make sure that the everything that is needed in the stores for the customers is going to be found, right? So right. They use this particular technology in order to have better inventory accuracy and also to enhance the transportation routes. And now it seems to be very complex, but it is something that basically we are going to be getting the benefit of for those that they shop at Walmart, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, now, I mean, I'd also say though, real quick with that like the benefits when approaching these types of initiatives, the benefits should always be not only internal, but like you said, the customer, the end user, your suppliers and providers. So like when thinking of that example in particular, how is that not only impacting internal operations and being able to have a handle on your internal, right? Knowing where your inventory is at, knowing if you need to move it, knowing what your routes are, knowing where your cost savings are in your transportation, but also how is the customer benefiting from that at the same time with being able to have access to different types of inventory and truck routes and things of that nature too. So I think, you know, having the ability with these initiatives, you know, especially something like that's a great example of how it's internal and external and how the effects are felt internal and external.
Yeah, and of course, when we are talking about, I mean, these big corporations, I mean, it's quite different than mid-sized or small companies.
Right.
But the principle still remains. It's the same, right?
Now, right.
Talking about, I mean, transportation routes enhancements. I remember that I watched something not that long ago. I mean, it was very interesting. I mean, I didn't have access. And it was something that it was produced by the Deutsche Welle, by the way. I mean, quite strange why it was that sort. But anyway, it's about Amazon and how Amazon, basically, you see it from outside, not from the industry, but from outside of the industry, you can imply that they are doing something that is not probably good or extremely good. And it's how the movement of goods, I'm talking about the United States, right? I mean, there's multiple different hubs. They fly goods from point A to point B and then go back to point A. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a whole maze of the movement of goods just with only one purpose, is that you get it where it's going to be the same day, the next day, or the second day. That's
right.
The only part. But they make a huge investment on that. They improve the routes with using technology, by the way. AI is something that is in place to be able to achieve this, because the data is something that is extremely critical. I mean, why you are not using it? So they use it. It seems to be, in many cases, it's redundant, everything that they are doing in terms of moving goods around. But the key is that when I press my enter and I said I need next day or second day, I'm gonna get it. And it's very interesting. I mean, I'm gonna try to find the link and put it in the chat, because it helps you to understand. I mean, all what is happening in the background for you when you press next day or second day, what happened right after that? I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I mean, honestly, though, like when you really stop to think about it, think of how many changes that Amazon or Walmart has had to go through to be able to get to the point where the consumer is having those different types of, you know, service levels, right? And that's something to keep in mind, is that, again, neither of those companies jumped from point A to point Z, right? They had to make incremental changes and manage those changes and adapt to those changes to be able to even get to the point they're at now. And so, you know, again, like you said, it's going to be different for a massive organization versus a small to medium size or mid-level organization, but the same concept still applies. You can't go from A to Z and expect it to work. That's why companies like Amazon and Walmart are able to give us those service levels now because they've had to make small changes, realize if the change is working or if it isn't, and then adjust accordingly to keep moving forward.
Now, I have to mention this because it's important, right? I mean, for us, for everyone, these companies, I mean, they succeed doing XYZ, but they tried multiple different times and not everything works.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
So we need to be aware of that, that when we are talking about, I mean, change management, it's not that we are going to be always find success doing that, going through that process, because probably, I don't know, you don't have the expertise, which is another critical point, right?
Right.
If you don't have the expertise, and let's say I am a mid-sized company, I'm facing some issues, I feel that I don't have the expertise, don't even try to do it. If you acknowledge that you have the expertise, I'm gonna knock the door. For example, I'm gonna go to Casey. He said, "Casey, can you help me?" That's okay.
Right.
These change management doesn't have to come from inside, because you have to have the talent for that. If you don't have it, there's people and there's companies that they can do it for you, or they can guide you through the process and help you going through that particular exercise.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, that goes back to the point that we had made earlier about, you know, your expectations and kind of knowing where your company is at, right? If you realize that you don't have the resources, or if you realize that you don't have the knowledge, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Because at the end of the day, you had the resources or the knowledge that you needed to get yourself to that point, right? But to be able to grow and evolve, you may need to get some outside knowledge to help you guys think of things differently, or to help see it from a different perspective. And like you said, there's so many people out there with a wide array of experience across multiple levels of organizations, different company sizes, all sorts of stuff, who have seen a lot, who can come in and give some of those outside perspectives. You know, and I've experienced this myself too, and I've seen it in companies I've worked for. You know, internally they sit here and they'll say, "Well, we can do that. We can figure it out." And what ends up happening is they continue to cycle in the same things, in the same ways that they've always been doing things, because they can't think of any different way or different perspective, because all they see is what's internal. Right. But when you bring external experience in to think of things and see things a little differently, then that's how you're able to plan ahead for some of these changes and be prepared for them and set them up in the right manner. Because otherwise, like, you want to handle it yourself, just be prepared and set your expectations for potential of major risks. And that goes back to, you know, that resource piece, right? You go into these changes or these initiatives and you say, "All right, we can do it ourselves." And then you get partway in and go, "Wait a second, we don't have the money to keep going through with this." Or, you know, because you didn't set it up or plan ahead for it correctly.
I have to recognize that the biggest failure that I have had is because the water is up to here.
Yeah.
And when I start making a decision, okay, I need to engage with somebody else, another company, to get the support that I need, because the water is here, but it's too late, unfortunately, right?
Right.
Because I have invested resources, you name it, everything.
Right.
About to break, and then you start making a decision to engage with a company, with someone that knows about something that I don't know.
Right.
And that is a mistake that I have done couple of times. And I'm trying not to go through that cycle again.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the other thing, too, is that's how you avoid those cycles, right? Because we all know at some point within business, you're going to get up to there with the water, right? Everyone knows that. Like, that's not, it's something that's a foreign concept. And so it's like, if you know at some point you're going to get there, you may not be there right now, but at some point you will. Be thinking ahead of, okay, maybe there's a different way we can do this, or maybe there's a different perspective we can bring into this. Have someone just to bounce ideas off of to help you to navigate so you don't get to that point where you're up to there, you know? And that's the thing is, like, again, you might, a lot of times you might think that whatever initiative, change, you know, plan that you have in place to keep growing and evolving is sound. Bounce that idea off of someone else before you even try to initiate it and see right. what they have to think.
This is the beauty of the consulting companies, because that's the reason why they exist, right? I don't know if you know this company, but for example, when we are talking about change management, then basically we can go and ask these companies to support everything that we would like to fix or we'd like to improve. So A2A Consulting, are you familiar with that company?
I've never heard of them. no, but I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I'm a consultant. I focus on process improvement as a means to identify your gaps and inefficiencies to then come up with solutions to help close those and make sure that the initiatives that are being derived actually do close gaps based off of your processes. But, you know, like, I've met other consultants, plenty of other independents, little boutique firms, other, you know, bigger firms, that they focus on such a wide array of things. You know, there's so many people out there with different levels of expertise, like I said, and they focus on so many other things. You know, I've got someone who focuses on data cleanup and does like analyzing your Excel spreadsheets and how to integrate that into new systems. Mm-hmm. I know someone else who focuses on you know, like pharma consulting specifically for pharmacy. Right. And it's like, it's so interesting the amount of expertise that's really out there that aren't just your power five or your big five firms. And it's good to tap into some of those other folks, because again, you're getting a different set of experience that is just unique. And sometimes companies need that.
Now talking about, I mean, probably the most common that, I mean, something that we hear a lot in these particular times is a digital transformation, right? Mm-hmm. That is definitely a change management 100%. Now, one of the good examples, I mean, it caught my attention because number one is a big company, right? Mm-hmm. They have 100,000 employees around the world, and you tend to believe that everything should be perfect because. Right. The size of the company is a worldwide entity. Therefore, I mean, they should be everything in place. That's not the case.
No.
Everything is subject for an improvement, that's for sure.
Right.
So I'm talking about Merck's, right? So they adopt blockchain. And this is something that caught my attention, because that's the premises of what they attempt to do, and they did it. And the goal was to achieve transparency for all their clients, that they are going to be able to trace everything. And with one goal in mind, it was to enhance the trust in the company. Mm-hmm. And use fraud. Fraud, I'm sorry. Right? So, I mean, whatever it is going to be your baseline to engage in a project, it counts, right? And as we can see in this particular example, I mean, a company of that size that should be by now, I mean, it should be, I mean, running like a machine.
Right.
They need something all the time. They need to improve something all the time. And more importantly, we as a consumers, and for example, I mean, every single company that deals with Merck's should enough, I don't know if you have had the experience, but at least myself, well, there are so many gaps in terms of transparency. Mm-hmm. You see why this is not in the way that's supposed to be, but companies like Merck's, I mean, they definitely do a very good job, I mean, trying to be ahead and try to provide that comfort to the end consumer, which is companies and entities, basically business cargo owners and so on and so forth.
Right.
Because the customer base for Merck's is not only the freight forwarders, BCOs. I mean, it's everyone in between, basically.
Right.
Now, the use of, I mean, I don't know if every single company is using today blockchain, but sooner or later, that is going to be probably more common than in these rare cases, right?
Right. Well, you know, and it's honestly like one of the biggest things is, again, this goes back to that planning piece, right? When you're looking at how you plan to implement a change or initiative or an improvement, right? An improvement project, we'll say. It's looking at your processes and how, and I, everyone knows me by now. If you don't follow me on LinkedIn, you'll realize I preach processes all the time, but it starts with following, you know, looking at your processes and seeing how things are flowing through and how it's going to impact this change, even watching how that flows through a process, right? And how it's going to impact your end goal or end consumer or whatever the end is, but then also looking at it within, like, again, products, people, processes, all of it internally and externally. And you can't go into an initiative with the mindset of this is going to be perfect, right? We talked about that already. Like, you have to go in with the mindset of this is probably going to take a little time to get to where we want to be, but how is it going to impact everything in between? And then make adjustments accordingly. And it's not going to ever be a well-oiled machine. Like, the expectation of thinking it's going to be perfect needs to just be thrown out the window, because it's not. And, you know, you may issue or execute a project or a change. And like you said before, it may fail or it may not be the right thing that should have been done. But that's why, you know, leveraging some outside perspective, bouncing those ideas off, kind of looking at where the industry is at, looking at some risks, that type of stuff should all be considered, you know, because maybe you could avoid going that route, right?
Yeah. Now, at the bottom of the screen, I mean, is if anyone wants to connect with Casey, then this is how you're going to be able to do that. You can use the website to do that as well. Now, just to continue on the point that you were making, earlier we said that resources is something that you have to be considered, right? You need to take a look at that for sure.
Yep.
Now, and this is a conversation that probably you hear as well. I said, well, you know what I mean? At this particular stage, yes, we acknowledge that we have a problem that we need to fix, but we don't have the budget to fix it. Then yes, we are going to do it ourselves. And be exposed. That is something that is quite risky, right? I mean, you said that you don't have the resources, then you are going to do it internally, which means that you're going to be struggling, right?
Right.
Because if, when you said that you don't have the resources, you mean that you're going to try to make it happen. When you try, then you are saying that probably you won't succeed because you are going to try and see. That's the wrong start, right? So
right.
Instead of use or try to use resources that you don't have internally or the intel that you need from the inside, then hiring a consulting company is probably the best option.
Yeah.
And people say that what we don't have the budget for that. Well, you're going to be surprised, because if you make an analysis what you're going to spend inside, yep, what you're going to spend outside, hiring a consulting company, then probably you're going to see that it's better to do that, because number one, you're going to have the focus of a company dedicated to your project instead of try to steal internally from people, I mean, from the day. People working 10 hours and, oh, you know what I mean? I need 20 minutes from you. And you're going to have all the complexity to handle that internally versus allocating, I mean, full attention from a company. So
right. It's
something to consider. I mean, it's not always, people tend to believe that is they're going to spend more and happen to be that that's not the case. That's for sure.
So that's one thing is, you know, when you do look at doing things internally, again, it's level setting with what your experience and knowledge capabilities are and where your company is currently at. But it's also, again, looking at, like you said, how much are you spending by using your teams internally? Because your resources internally, while yes, they're making a salary or they're getting paid, using their time, what are you paying them to be doing? Is it the day-to-day operations, or is it to focus on, you know, trying to come up with these new initiatives? Now, some companies probably have continuous improvement or, you know, types of roles that focus on these, you know, change initiatives or change management after the fact, but it's looking at what are your resources being paid to do? And is that going to pay off for you in the long run? Because again, if you're taking them away from the day-to-day, your day-to-day operations are going to be suffering. You have to find that balance of being able to progress forward while also maintaining. And from my perspective, it just kind of depends on where your knowledge base is to be able to know if I pull this department off of this for an hour a day, is that going to impact my day-to-day operations? Or is it better to get someone in here who can focus on this project in particular and leave them at the core focused on, you know, what their activities are? But, you know, from my side as well, again, it goes back to, and this is not just me from a consultant perspective, but it goes back to getting outside experience. I mean, and we do that personally too. How many times have we called a friend or asked our parents or, you know, whatever the case may be, a colleague, you know, a longtime friend of, you know, a friend or whatever the case is to get some advice on something. We do it all the time. And there's a reason for that because we don't have the knowledge and capability ourselves to be able to do it. Right. But, you know, again, using like consulting companies or firms, like the other piece of it is too, is when you make that cost comparison, be cognizant of the fact that some consultants may be lower priced, but providing higher value, that the price of the consultant isn't always necessarily something to be, I guess, focused on. Because I've encountered plenty of, you know, folks out there, consultants, firms, whatever, where their prices are honestly way too high. And I'm not afraid to say that. And it's honestly kind of upsetting to see that because we're supposed to be providing, you know, value at a cost-effective price. Like that's exactly what supply chain is. So also be cognizant of the fact that, you know, you don't have to pay some of these prices when you can get different other experience or other consultants who have just as much, if not more value to bring to you than those ones, you know, charging out the wazoo.
Absolutely. I mean, there's an opportunity all the time.
Yeah.
And when we are talking about, and this is something that I have experienced all the time, companies, BCOs, right? They said, you know what, I mean, we would like to have our own warehouse control, be able to see our inventory, have the boxes and everything. And they feel that they have more control doing it. They feel that they can handle it better than anyone else because it's their product. And there's many studies that shows otherwise.
Yeah.
And it's always an option to go to a 3PL. Now, it doesn't mean that you're gonna get your inventory as a 3PL, this is my inventory. Wrong with that. No. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is to partnership with that 3PL.
Yes.
They are experts, by the way.
Yeah.
They are experts and they are going to be able to conduct the business based on your expectation. So you set up the expectation and they're going to do everything for you.
Right.
And you are going to continue doing the core business that you company supposed to be doing instead of trying to reinvent the wheel. In this particular change management, when we are talking about the consulting company, it is exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Consulting companies are there for, because they have seen not only your company, but multiple different companies in your field that they have all these learning lessons. And then basically they're going to be able to be more effective and achieve what you need to achieve in a record time.
But you, one more thing is, do you know why some of these companies don't want to actually have to partner or outsource? Because they are resistant to change. Absolutely. They've been doing it that way up until that point. and they don't want someone to come in there to partner or, you know, find gaps or inefficiencies or whatever the case may be, because they're resistant to change.
Sadly, but true, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been there, then I can agree to that statement. We have made that mistake. I have
yes.
made.
I've made it too. Like, I'm not even saying it. That's the thing. Like, I know we all have, right? Like, we've all been at some point in our career where, you know, we don't want to change anything because it's a comfort zone for us.
Right. So, Casey, any final thoughts?
Final thoughts, being open to change and being willing to embrace it. And, you know, understanding and expect that there's going to be challenges, but see the challenges as opportunities and see the change as something, as a way to grow and evolve.
Very good. Excellent. Very well stated. Without any question, I mean, if we don't embrace innovation, then we are going to be left behind, right?
Yep.
The only way to stay competitive is just to be ahead, or at least in the same level that everyone is. Now, this is something that is important, in my opinion. This is an ongoing process. It's not that mm-hmm. you start today, you finish it, and then forget about it. No. It's something that is going to be an ongoing basis, and you have to be paying attention to those changes. Why? Because the marketplace is dynamic. Therefore, yes. we should be dynamic as well. And with that in mind, I always have to state the same thing, because it's... we are better together, then we have the opportunity to win together as well.
Yes.
So BCO companies, consulting companies, everyone should be in the same place trying to do something new to improve. And that's the way that we should be winning together, right?
Yes, I would say that as long as we're all contributing together, then we're all pushing the field together forward, and the industry forward together. So, which is better for all of us.
That's the reason, Casey. Thank you so much. I mean, your insight is amazing. We have learned a lot, and then thank you for spending the hour today, and I'm hoping to see you again in one of these Fridays.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
All right, so until next time, ciao, be well.
Bye.
Bye-bye.